Hey everyone, welcome back to another challenge recap here. We have episode number 5, I can never keep track of the challenge, season number 35. We have a very special guest today, but of course, let me just first bring in the guy that's always here with me. It is Brian Scally.
Hello, hello. Spending more time in quarantine, but excited to be back here podcasting, especially with our guest.
Yes. Colin also makes fun of me because I never introduce myself. Hey, guys, it's Matt Liguori. I don't know why anybody would be listening to this and not know that already, but I guess I'll throw that in there as well. Yeah, we have a very special guest with us today, a guy who is very well known specifically for his challenge podcasting career, which was cut short way too soon. It is Mr. Hoodie Allen. How you doing?
Hey guys, what's going on? I love that intro. That's awesome. That is what I want to be known for.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else anybody would know you for.
I did a challenge podcast with my younger brother. It was a very great experience. We both grew up loving the show together. It's like a bonding thing. It also highlighted that we like to fight while doing these sort of things. And it also highlighted the fact that our voices are nearly identical, which might not be the best thing for a podcast where there's no video.
Right. What season was that? It was like a year or two ago.
Well, it wasn't War of the Worlds. It was whatever it was before War of the Worlds. Was that Rod? No, it wasn't Rival.
Before the first one.
Yeah, so Final Reckoning, I think.
Final Reckoning, I think that's what it was. Yeah. And you know what? Shout out to my brother Daniel in case he listens to this. He kind of didn't watch the whole last season, so I had to introduce to him who is Bear, who is Rogan, all these people, he has no idea who they are. So you know, he's back on the hype train for the challenge though, so that's the good part.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. I'm sad we had to lose the podcast along the way, but I mean, you're a relatively busy guy, so I didn't expect it to last forever, but it was a lot of fun while you guys kept that going. But you I don't think you were watching the whole time, right? You kind of bounced out a little bit and then bounced back in, or am I making that up?
No, I think we watched the whole time. It was just, I ended up going that season, like most challenge seasons nowadays are like 5 months long.
Right.
So, when we started, we were together in New York and then I ended up leaving on tour and we had to sort of adjust the schedule. We weren't able to be as punctual as we would like to be. But, that was my first foray kind of into podcasting. I think I'm sliding into the special guest role as a more appropriate venue, though. So thanks for having me here today.
Absolutely. One of the guests that I was hoping to get on for a long time now. But like I said, you're pretty busy, but not really at the moment because nobody's busy. We're all stuck inside. How is your quarantine going?
It's not bad. I live in New York as well, but I happen to be in California for the entirety of this quarantine. So there are advantages and disadvantages to that, and I'm just working on some new music for the people who want to hear new music from me. So everything's good. Staying healthy.
More than happy to hear some new music whenever that comes out. Obviously, as you know, and if I don't know if anyone else out there knows, but Scally and I both got a chance to see you perform back a couple months ago, and that was a great time. So can't wait to hear whatever's coming up next. Maybe there'll be a collaboration with the Challenger. I don't know. Just trying to combine the worlds here. But yeah, so
like who?
I don't know. Yeah. There's got to be someone. I saw you and Bananas getting into it on Twitter.
You know, it's a really weird thing to be in my position sometimes, and I have these moments like once in a while where like I can now tweet at somebody, and occasionally I get like a response or they follow me, and I'm like, I don't even know if they know who I am or what the reason is, but like Johnny, I don't know when this happened, but maybe 2 years ago, Johnny Banana started following me on Twitter and I was like, this is kind of cooler than like if Beyonce followed me on Twitter, like it's Johnny Bananas. So yeah, I don't know. Someone tweeted at me like basically saying that I would, that I should go like head to head with Johnny Bananas. I don't understand the context of that, but I just tweeted at him to see if I would get a response and I did. So shouts to Johnny Bananas.
Have you had any other like interactions with anybody else from the challenge? I feel like you've had more from Big Brother. I know the Big Brother crew is all big fans, but what about the challenge?
Yeah, I love all the Big Brother peeps who I've met. It's been awesome. You know, I'm a newer fan of Big Brother as opposed to the challenge, but definitely like love that whole community a lot. With MTV, with the challenge, well, I've known TJ for a really long time, actually. So I've hung out with him a bunch. Anytime I'm in Las Vegas, he is the coolest guy. Everything that you would think TJ Lavin is exactly what TJ Lavin is, mm-hmm. which is pretty incredible. And I feel like he was early on kind of responsible for getting a lot of these challengers who might be based in Las Vegas to be on the show. So I remember meeting at least a couple people from that. And then Marie, who I think is a New Yorker as well, came to one of my shows last year. So shout outs to Marie and TJ.
All right. Yeah, the when we saw you in that at that show we came to, you were talking about how you just had, like, Dan came to your show in one city, and you had Paul obviously was there in New York, and I feel like somebody else was there. So these guys just keep dropping by the shows, throwing cake.
Tyler Crispin was in LA. Tyler and Angela, they're great. Yeah,
that's pretty cool. The whole TJ story. I can't imagine TJ Lavin being anything other than what you would imagine TJ being. Like, TJ does not put on a front for the cameras. He's exactly the same as, like, on Instagram, on the show. So not surprised to hear he's just like that in person. But I would love more stories about that. Maybe one day between the two of you guys.
Yeah, he's so cool and, like, generous and just, like, a thoughtful dude. And also, like, scares the crap out of me because I've been in a car with him before, and he is, you know, he's a daredevil guy. So I'm just like, please don't kill me. My parents will be mad. So, you know.
Was it a car like the one? Was it a car like the one in this challenge?
No, he has like a crazy, like, pickup truck thing, like, that doesn't really have seatbelts, and you're like, okay, this is cool. All right.
I wouldn't expect anything less. But all right, let's get into just talking about the show this season. You like I said, don't have that podcast anymore, so we don't get to hear your thoughts on the regular, which is sad because you guys had a pretty good dynamic over there. But I'll stop talking about that podcast. What have you been making of the season so far? Just this cast in general, the format, the Red Skulls of it all. You liking what we're seeing so far?
I do. I honestly, I really liked this switch up because I thought, okay, you know, MTV is being proactive in trying to kind of keep the format fresh, especially when they're churning out so many of them, and there aren't always, like, a huge amount of differences except for, like, new cast members. Like, how are we going to not see the same exact dynamics play out? And I think that the sort of have a Red Skull to get into the finals is a nice little wrinkle in the game. And I'm sure we're going to get into this later, but I do feel like a lot of the certain house dynamics or tropes that I've grown a little bit tired of still exist here. I guess specifically I'm talking about, like, how people will target a rookie until they're out, essentially. Mm-hmm. And it made me feel like if I was in those shoes, how would I navigate that situation differently than, like, a Jay? But yeah, I mean, overall, I think I really like this cast. Really, like, I just look at it and say, like, man, there's not any, like, low-hanging fruit here, at least on the guy side. And I feel like that is a new thing. There's always, like, one or two people you're like, ah, that person's going to be out first, but it doesn't really seem to be any weak players here.
I think that's had a lot to do with why Jay keeps going into these eliminations. It's just they're all afraid that they're going to get sent home super early. Nobody wants to go in and risk being such an early elimination. And Jay is, like, I guess the smallest guy there by a pretty considerable amount. So I think that's why they keep throwing him in. Scally, I wanted to ask you, did you see Bailey and Swaggy did a interview with Aika over on ET Canada? Did you see anything from that?
I have not gotten to watch it yet, but I did hear a few things about it, like, in general. Like, most people I saw, I think were enjoying it.
Yeah, did you see, I don't know if you saw, Bailey was talking about exactly what Hoodie was just saying, about how she went into this house with this mindset of, you know, Swaggy and I are here to play. Like, I don't care about this rookie thing. We're here to play, like, show us respect and we'll show you respect. Basically just trying to knock down that wall of, the rookies always get shit on every time they come into a new season. There's really no reason for that. We're here to play just as much as anybody else. So she had that attitude going in, which I think has to be a pretty big part in why neither of them have been touched so far. I mean, Swaggy's been winning, though.
It's wild to see that, you know, Bailey came in with a plan and it has implemented very well so far. Seemingly everyone has kept their hands off of all four Big Brother players, and whereas Jay has not been so lucky.
Yeah. And Hoodie, you are a Big Brother fan, a recent Big Brother fan, at least, as mentioned. I'm pretty sure you saw BB20, you watched Tyler in that entire season. So what do you think of these guys that are coming in here in their rookie season? Bailey, Swaggy, Fessy, Casey?
To echo the things you just said, I think it's probably a testament to whatever Bailey and Swaggy did in the house that, like, their names really weren't, it doesn't even, at least the way the edit looks, is not even up for consideration in these early weeks at all. So they must be doing something right. You know, Fessy, from the challenges that we've seen so far, looks like a legitimate, like, athletic beast, which makes sense because we, you know, look at his track record and say, oh, that makes, you know, that is what his pedigree sort of represents. But it's crazy that he's probably not only like one of the strongest guys left in the house, but probably one of the fastest as well. Like, that part kind of surprised me. But yeah, I mean, I love seeing the Big Brother cast being integrated into this game. I'm kind of a little disappointed right now with Casey, if anyone. And if you think about it, it makes sense, because Casey always played a sort of low-key game in the Big Brother house as well. And in some ways, I would have loved to see just someone in there for drama sake, as opposed to a Casey. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of someone who would have been fun just for drama, but like an obvious not
Caitlin.
Competitor. Yeah,
that's probably
yep.
That seemed like the obvious answer there. Yeah, like, Casey
said it, not me.
Casey is not ever going to be somebody who gets cast on these shows because they're a super exciting player, and that's not to be like super shady towards her. I think that's a pretty like well accepted sentiment at this point. But she's already, we're how many weeks in? 5 weeks in now, and she's already won two of these challenges and been in the tribunal twice already. So she's obviously got the athletic side down, and I think that's why she was such a early draft pick for so many people coming into this. It's, she seems like she has what it takes to go far, especially that gameplay that she brings in, the Big Brother style gameplay of just laying low. I feel like she's easily somebody who could go all the way. Nobody's going to want to throw her in and go against her. No one's going to be, I don't know. I don't think anyone's going to be too intimidated by her. So I don't know. I think she's off to a good start. They're all off to a good start. Did you watch? I feel like you did watch BB19 with Josh.
I did.
You are you a Josh fan, or are we still taking a little bit of disappointment? Obviously, you and Paul are pretty tight. Paul is robbed all the way.
If you're asking my opinion on that, I believe that Paul played a better game in that house. But
yeah,
definitely. With regards to Josh in the challenge world, I feel like he's good television. I mean, I think it's a little obvious and on the nose sometimes what he's doing, but like I kind of felt that same way about Devin when Devin was like so gung-ho on being like Johnny Banana's rival. You're like, oh, come on, dude, this isn't a thing. Like, let's not make this happen. But, sometimes persistence pays off, and if other people are slacking on creating interesting storylines, yeah, sure, let me see Josh make some moves. Like, I'm cool with that. I've been surprised by, like, if there's one person I've been surprised by how quiet they've been and I thought they wouldn't have been, so far, it's Kyle.
Fair enough. Yeah. Kyle's somebody who's been pretty active in the game for the past couple seasons, whether in a good or bad way. Last season, he was pretty upfront about his gameplay, but he was kind of the leader of the Brits because he was, the most veteran player on that side, which was pretty crazy because it was his second or third season at the time. But yeah, this season, now that that's not the case, now that they're not split into teams, he kind of has just been hanging back a little bit, giving a funny confessional here or there, which, in terms of like edit, in terms of just predicting where he's looking to go in this season, I feel like that's a good sign for him. If he's staying out of all this, he's only, getting his name thrown in there as a burn vote. But back to Josh, I want to mention the Josh and Wes thing, Scally. The fact that Josh decided to start a rivalry seemingly out of nowhere with Wes this week. Do these guys have a history that I'm just not remembering, or is Josh just making this up to try to make it a thing?
I feel like there was Josh was the one who was ultimately, was it his idea with Laurel and Bananas last season where Josh was in the tribunal and they ended up throwing Wes in? And so I think that like Hoodie made the perfect comparison of like the Devin Bananas thing where Josh, whether it is actually for airtime or if it's just like, Josh being Josh, he is really hyping up this rivalry and was promptly completely embarrassed by Wes in the deliberation.
That was so
with like
bad.
No, it's not, just no, you're embarrassed, you should stop, you really should stop. And like Josh did not get the hint, and I was cringing the entire time.
Yeah, that was bad. Every time Josh was like, yeah, because we're always going to be going after each other, Wes is like, no, we're not going to be going after each other. You're going to be coming after me. I'm going to be going after strong players. Hoodie, that was like a slap in the face to Josh, and Josh just didn't seem to get the message.
Nobody wants to be, called weak in this game. And he's obviously like a very emotional, like empathetic person. And, he also seems to be not a terrible competitor. At least it seems like he's improved over the last couple seasons that he's been in this game. So it's weird. I've always gotten the sense from like the guys in this house, like someone who cries is not going to exactly ever be the alpha male. So Josh is always going to kind of have that stigma around him as it relates to, you know, like other players in this game.
For sure.
The thing is, though, I feel like Josh, while I don't ever think he's going to gain the respect of a Bananas or a Wes, really, I really was surprised to see, even when we get in that interrogation, that he has like three less senior players around him. And Josh, all of a sudden, is like big man on campus. He's leading everything. And it's not a role that I'm used to seeing him in whatsoever.
Yeah, he was like the senior guy on the panel. He was the longest tenured person there. This is his third season. Casey and Jenny, or no, Casey's first, Jenny's second, and Swaggy's first. So Josh, by default, was the guy who was pretty much taking charge there, which, like you said, it was weird to see. But yeah, so Wes is not having any of what Josh is putting out there. Speaking of Wes, to go back to Wes a little bit, Hoodie, what do you make of this Bananas and Wes rivalry? The rivalry that has turned into the alliance of the season that is kind of undercover, not really undercover. Nani calling out the fact that we see you, and I'm pretty sure the entire house does at this point, but these guys working together this season?
Well, I mean, look, if you're on this show and reality television in general for the past decade, it's always been my assumption that these guys were actually friends in real life. I never bought into them being enemies. I bought into them making a name for themselves via roasting each other and being enemies on the show, but I always thought that was kind of completely gamesmanship and sort of for TV. So like, I'm not surprised that they would want to switch it up here, because it probably isn't fun to take all that attention every time. And you know, Bananas has had pretty short seasons the last couple seasons from basically this exact dynamic. So I like it. I'm a fan. I'm sure it's in no way undercover. I don't think they're even doing a good job of pretending that it is undercover on the show. But yeah, it's a new wrinkle in the game. I don't know what your guys' stance is on like spoilers in general. I've never looked at spoilers ever. So I know that there's probably information out there about whatever happens in the season, but I kind of just like enjoying it as it comes. So for now, like, I'm enjoying wherever this is taking us.
Yeah, no, we're a spoiler-free podcast. Scally and I, every once in a while, have like accidentally seen something that comes across like the Twitter timeline, and it's hard to avoid. But I believe we're both pretty unspoiled for the season, and in general, yep, we try to stay that way. So, yeah, these guys—that's what, you know, we've been talking about. How it's hard to say how long this is going to last. I feel like it can't be forever, especially because like people are going to be onto them if they are not already. They usually by this point in the season would be going around to other people in the house saying, "All right, Bananas is doing this, Wes is doing that." But obviously, they're not talking badly about either one. They're not talking badly about each other to anybody else in the house, which is why people like Nani are coming around like, you guys are not hiding anything. So nice try. But yeah, so I mean, those guys are obviously still working together kind of well. We see Wes come in this episode to Bananas to kind of have a moment of, you know, Wes is going after Jordan so bad, and Bananas is like, dude, you got to sit back a little bit. You wanted to come into the game with this strategy, and this isn't working out for you because you're kind of reverting back to old Wes of making sure that your target goes in and your target goes home, and that's not what you wanted to do. So if these guys want to keep sitting back, strangely enough, Wes is going to have to find himself following Bananas' advice. But talking about that Wes and Jordan thing, let's go back to that a little bit from the beginning of this episode. I feel like this came out of nowhere. Hoodie, are you a fan of Jordan? He just, you know, he's one of the most dominant players in this game, but do you generally enjoy him on the show?
I do. Yeah, I'm a Jordan fan for sure.
Is that from like an entertainment perspective or like a pure like respect of like how great he is at the game? Or both?
Yeah, I like him on the show. I guess I'm unbothered by his cockiness, wherein it does bother me in other players. I guess I just find him always impressive because it seems like he's at a physical disadvantage and yet always performs better than other people. So I was always fascinated by that and thought he just had a lot of like mental toughness and resilience. But the rivalry of him and Wes did kind of come out of nowhere, and it makes me wish that we kind of got a little bit more interpersonal relationship background on this show, because I'm like looking at the cast right now in front of me, and it's like I don't know where a lot of these people stand with each other in terms of like their relationship. So maybe that's just the Big Brother fan in me, but I wish I knew more about like who was really intertwined with who here, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of a puzzle that you have to put together on your own, kind of, with the seasons that are this big, even with 90 minutes, it's like you can't exactly get together the pieces of how people are, especially with the amount of pre-gaming that goes on. It's not like in a cast of Big Brother, you can pretty quickly see who gels together because it's all usually new players. And you see who's vibing with each other. And then especially, you know, with the access to live feeds, it's a whole different story. But on a show like this, where there's so much pre-gaming, there's so much history between these people, it's impossible to tell besides them actually coming up in a confessional and saying, I'm not working with Jordan this season. I hate him. Tori and Jordan are my number one targets. So yeah, it's kind of surprising to see this kind of come out of nowhere. But I mean, especially because Jordan and Bananas seem to be friends. They were working together last season. They're probably working together this season, which I imagine is why this didn't work for Wes, because Bananas was probably getting his crew, like the Kyles and Nannies, to not say Jordan's name because he's working with Jordan. So it's just a weird, like, if Bananas and Wes are going to work together, there's going to be different people that get attached to that. So I'm not too sure exactly, you know, how that falls. What about Tori? You're a big Jordan fan, or it seems like. Are you a fan of Tori?
Love Tori. Love Tori more than Jordan. Tori, yeah. I think, is like my favorite girl on the show. I don't know why. I think she's a New Yorker. I might be making that up. I just feel like she's a badass. I've always thought, like, she's not like the, again, it's kind of similar to Jordan. She's not like, she shouldn't beat a Jenny, but like when she beat Jenny in that whole like hallway smash thing, I was like, oh yeah, full team Tori. Like, this girl's got it. Like, she doesn't really cause like that many problems, but she'll still defend herself. Like, she's not really part of stirring up drama. I don't know. I just like their thing. I don't even know if I'm on the right side of like what the popular take is on that. But yeah, I'm a Tori fan for sure.
It's hard to say.
Especially since Derek, but Popcorn Muscles Derek is gone out of the picture.
Yeah, the guy that completely ruined her season that you covered on your show, on your podcast. Correct. So that was a rough time for Tori. But again, now she's back. She's been two seasons in a row here. Last season, obviously made it all the way to the final and then kind of fell apart there. But Scally, I feel like, where do you currently sit on Tori? We've talked about her plenty here. And I think where I am is just kind of, I still like her, but I think this season, maybe she's just been rubbing me the wrong way. I feel like you're kind of on the same page.
Yeah, I always have like liked Tori. I haven't bought into the hype probably as much as like a lot of other people. I think I was underrating her as a competitor until last season. So I definitely recognize that. I don't know if it seems like she's improved, but also maybe I was just underrating her before. So I like her. Don't love Jordan, as we know, but I definitely respect that. Like, they are both charismatic, entertaining people on the show.
Yeah. And Hoodie, one thing that we've been talking about on this podcast for the past couple of weeks is that it seems like this season has not been going their way so far, Jordan and Tori. It seems like, you know, every time they want to win in a tribunal to put Tori in or to put Jordan in or whatever the case may be, Jordan wanted to win power to, I guess, avoid Wes having the opportunity to throw him in. It seems like things are just kind of not falling their way. I don't know where their alliances are, because I guess, like you said, we're not really getting a full picture of that. But they struggled last season to find friends and ended up on the outs, you know, jumping over to their Team UK. But we're also kind of seeing that this season, it doesn't seem to be going super well for them. So do you have hope for them that they can make a run here? Or are they just kind of somehow floundering, even though they're both relatively good players?
You know, it's tough. I think because this is such a game where, when it comes down to it, you get to fight for your survival in this game. Both of them are always going to have a fighting chance, even if like the social aspect of it isn't working that well for them. So I would never count them out. Like, I didn't really put too much stock into that whole thought that you just said there, where things aren't really working out for them, because I feel like more so they've been trying to force a narrative for themselves, like force themselves into a place where, like, you know, take like a Fessy, for example. Fessy doesn't have a skull either. I guess I feel like no one has a skull right now. So just because you've tried to force your hand to be in that position and no one's granted it yet doesn't necessarily mean they're at a disadvantage. Just go win it for yourself and then control your own destiny. I think that's hopefully what we'll see in this season coming forth.
Yeah, you talk about how nobody has a skull. It's because Jay currently has all of them for the guy side.
All skulls.
He's got all of them. You like the way that TJ kind of taunts the guys and calls them out on being like scared and losers for the fact that none of them want to go down into an elimination?
I mean, I just wish that there was some sort of like rule that was implemented there where it's like, oh, by the way, if you get like three skulls, you can't even be eliminated or something like that. You know what I mean? Because yeah. to see they can withstand like getting scolded by TJ, because ultimately they're like, okay, yeah, we're, what's it? But like we kind of know where this is all going to go. If you're going to continue to throw the same guy into the elimination every single time, it's just unlikely for him to come out six times in a row,
right?
You know, and it's very boring to watch and predictable. So I wish that there was a little bit more people stepping up, but I guess at the end of the day, this is for money, and they're going to try to, you know, vote with their pockets, not with just solely their entertainment value.
Yeah, it's kind of frustrating at a certain point. Like, I start getting annoyed when TJ starts getting annoyed, because it's like TJ's kind of speaking, I guess he's trying to speak kind of for the audience at a certain point. Like, we want to see a different dynamic. We want to see a different elimination. It's not the most fun television, like you said, to just see Jay going in here and fighting for his life every week. You know, he's come out twice, and that's pretty cool. It's a nice underdog story. I think Jay has accumulated a lot of fans this season from his scrappy underdog ways. And especially, you know, him going in here against Rogan in this elimination, I think there's a lot of Rogan hate. I don't know, where do you fall on Rogan? Because I've seen, not like, this is like the one elimination where you have like the most fan favorite guy in the house against probably the guy currently the most hated by the fan base.
Yeah, and I don't know if you guys have ever done like a ranking or a current rankings of like how you view the players or who your favorites are. I would be happy to give my comprehensive look into that.
Please
but
do.
I am fully on the Rogan hate train, and obviously, like, I resonate with Jay. Like, I think Jay must be doing a poor job socially in the house integrating himself if he wasn't able to save himself from any of these votes. And maybe it's impossible. Maybe it's just everyone is so intertwined that you can't really do much about it. But I resonate with Jay. Like, I feel like I'm the underdog in a lot of situations. I can feel like I'm in his shoes in this game. And Rogan is he's so predictable. He's so meatheadish. Like, it makes me respect Joss so much more, because, you know, like, I wish we had Joss instead of Rogan. Joss was everything Rogan was physically, but, like, you know, when he was humbled in the elimination, he took it well. Like, it just, Rogan is just, yeah. I have nothing good I'd say about him. His face is so punchable to me.
No, that's definitely a sentiment shared by a lot of people, including shout out to Haley, who, like, her only thing that she had to say to us in our group about the challenge is, hate Rogan. So Rogan's getting a lot of hate this week, and I gotta agree that it's pretty deserved. He just has this attitude about him where it's like, first of all, this guy is somebody who is on his third season of the challenge. Granted, he just came off a win. He did not go into a single elimination that season. He made that pretty tight bond with CT where the two of them were kind of controlling things at the end. Obviously, they were in on that alliance with the Kara and Pauly side, and Rogan ended up just making it his way to the final, and sure, he pulled out, you know, a final win, but now he's coming in here and he's just got like this huge head that Hoodie wants to punch in the face, and he is he's making a lot of, you know, he's not making a lot of fans. But then again, if he's making a lot of people hate him, this is kind of just, it feels like making him more likely to come back for future seasons. So I don't know if we want to keep telling the world how much we hate him, because that's causing a reaction, and then the producers are going to see that and say, oh, we got to keep bringing this guy back.
I think we're stuck with Rogan for a little while either way.
Who else is that can you think of is someone who's such a hated character that they bring back? Because there's something about being hated. Like, Johnny Bananas is beloved, and he is also hated, and there's a charm to both ways. I don't see the charm with Rogan, and that's what I lack. Like, it's not charming. Jordan can be hated for sure too. Like, you know, we had a different opinion on Jordan right here, but he's good in the confessional. He's cocky in a way that is alluring. I just don't see that for Rogan. Rogan feels like he's like, I don't know. And this goes alongside, I don't know where you guys feel about D, but I feel like D is just a female Rogan to me, and I find her hugely unlikable. So they both can go to Love Island. I'd be okay with that.
So I think the number one answer on the board to answer that question of who is somebody like comparable to Rogan, honestly, I think the answer is Kara. Somebody who has just been so dislikable the past couple seasons. There's really been no redeeming qualities to Kara. The only people that I think are still in on Kara are people who are like loyal Kara fans, and I kind of count myself in that because I still do like her. But nothing really in the past season or two have made anybody like people hate her, and people are really over her, and that's why it's good that she's taking a break here. But I don't think that there's many redeeming qualities about her in the past couple seasons, not to sound super harsh. Do you agree or disagree with that at all?
You know, it's really weird because I've been watching the show for a long time, as I'm sure you have as well. And like, the Kara arc has changed considerably. you know, like she's turned herself into a heel, essentially. That's the right term in wrestling, right?
Yeah,
I think it is.
Yeah, you're
it
good.
Is.
You're good.
Like she used to be like, I thought she used to be like really sweet and really nice back in those early challenges. And like, she'd be the person that you'd root for because like, she was kind of like small, but like athletic and like kind of always performed and became like, oh, she's becoming a legend. And yeah, she's taken this really weird turn, and it must be just because people don't like her in the house or whatever it is. But yeah, it's been hard to watch her, and especially hard to watch her because like, I don't like Polly. So like, I mean, these all come in hand. It's like couples that are bad together, essentially moving badly in the game as like duos.
Yeah. That's pretty much the comparison I've been seeing online. The Polly and Kara, comparison to Dean Rogan at this point. Kara was talking a whole lot about how, you know, we're not on this season, so you guys are going to need to find someone new to hate. And it just turned out to be a couple that's pretty much exactly like them, in terms of just pure, like, they give you every reason in the world to dislike them at a certain point. Dee has been struggling all season long to do a single thing in the game worth rooting for. I think a lot of people like Dee or liked Dee coming into the season, and she's just been kind of flopping all over the place. And then Rogan, obviously, as we've been talking about, is really not making any more fans here. So that's the kind of comparison that I see, which I think will be interesting going forward, because I don't know that I see Dee. She just got her win. Rogan just got his win. And I feel like that's the reason that they're back here on this season. If they had lost, I would not have been surprised to see Dee take a break with Ninja, Rogan take a break with Joss. I feel like the only reason that they're back here is because of that win. So if they end up not winning here, which, I mean, I can't imagine that they will at this point, but who knows, it's a long season. I feel like they're not guaranteed these spots in the way that a lot of other people are. Scally, I don't know.
That's interesting. I don't think I agree. I think that they both have kind of made a name for themselves, just as like two of the rookies who have come in since War of the Worlds and actually won a season. I really feel like they have made their mark. And like we were saying, like, oh, when do they bring back villains? Allegedly, they were trying to bring back Camilla after her giant blow up. Like, they gave her one or two seasons off, and like, she's been turning them down. So I'm not so confident that they don't like having like this source of like angst on TV for everyone. Mm.
Yeah, I just think they're not afraid to say no to people at a certain point. Look at the crew that's back here, Kayla, Corey, and Nelson. Like, they didn't do anything wrong in the time that those guys were kind of taken off the show for a couple seasons back to back. They just kind of disappeared in terms of relevancy. And, you know, there's always been a reaction to Kayla, to Corey. I don't know about Nelson as much, but I don't know. I just don't feel like their spots are guaranteed. But I don't know. We'll have to see. Rogan Wilson? And Jay in this elimination, you know, this seems to be pretty brutal. I don't know if we want to get into that now. But
wasn't the time before all three of those names, like the last season that all three of those names were on, they were kicked off for violence, and that's why they haven't been brought back?
No, not Nelson, at least.
No, not Nelson. You're right. That was 30-30, and then he came back on 32.
But yeah, cool. And Corey had the whole thing with Hoodie's boy Devin, and
Well, no, it was with Tony, technically, right?
With Tony. He was partnered with Devin. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yes.
Anybody else miss Tony?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I do. Yeah. Tony's my boy.
You miss Tony?
I like Tony. But I also really appreciate people who come into these challenges like seemingly prepared and getting better, and like he seemed to be regressing in terms of like the amount that he cared. Mm-hmm. So like, you can't be like that big and then like be bad. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's kind of my Tony opinion. Although if it's an eating challenge, like he was killing it. So
true. Yeah. I feel like we don't say his name at all anymore. And, that's like the first time we must've dropped his name in like a season and a half. So, I don't know. I kind of miss him, but yeah, let's talk about this.
Start bringing it up.
Feel free. I want to talk about this elimination while we're here, while we're on Rogan. This was pretty insane, the way that this episode ended. And it was like the first time in a while that I feel like we've gotten a cliffhanger. We've been kind of going away from those. I think the last time we saw them was Final Reckoning, if I'm remembering correctly. So yeah, Rogan and Jay go into this elimination. It's a twist on the usual balls in elimination where, you know, whoever gets in three first is going to be the winner. You go on offense, defense, back and forth. But this time there's a twist. The balls are going to have fire. And then immediately, besides the whole twist that the challenge tried to throw into this elimination, Rogan says, fuck the fire. Let's turn this all into a wrestling match where I'm just going to body slam Jay on the ground and try to break his arm. Hoodie, is Jay's arm broken?
No, I don't think so.
No?
Do you think so?
It didn't look good. He wasn't moving. I mean, I've never seen somebody have their arm broken in front of me, so I can't say for sure. I don't know, Scally, have you?
Yes, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we were kids. And we were like, oh, you're faking it. But no, his arm was broken.
Well, did it look like this?
I did not get in a close-up view, but I also do not think his arm is broken.
All right, well, Hody, there's been a lot of talk online about whether Rogan intended to hurt Jay this bad or not. And I think from the confessionals, it kind of seems like he did intend to. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, fair play on him, but like he was absolutely trying to inflict damage. You know, does he want this guy to break a bone? I don't think so, but he wants to have, you know, make him feel pain for sure. I mean, this is why he was so excited to go down there and have it be a headbanger. And I, you know, I kind of immediately after this episode kind of cliffhanger ended, I went to like Rogan's Twitter, and I guess, you know, like we kind of, if you did that, you kind of know where this is headed. So I'll spare the listeners and stuff, but I just found what we saw to be, I don't know, that cemented the hate for me. I was like, I feel like I'm not going to get the satisfying result that I want from it, and I'm just going to have to deal with a guy that I really like not being on the show anymore.
Yeah, I can't imagine that Jay's able to get up from this. Rogan looked like he completely just, you know, killed Jay. And the reaction that we got from the rest of the cast was like, that was the loudest hit we've ever heard, ever seen. And they repeated that all over social media, that like they could not believe what they just saw when that happened. So, I mean, even if Jay doesn't have a broken arm and he's able to get back up and kind of, you know, try again, I can't imagine he's got anything left in him to go after Rogan, especially with Rogan being so like filled with all this like testosterone, honestly, of just like, he's so angry at Jay for being like, what, for being successful in the game, for taking out two people, taking out CT, I guess, and obviously for the whole D thing. But Rogan was with Jen, so I don't know what this is about. But yeah. Rogan's cementing himself as a pretty big villain.
Ego. Rogan, like, it's about ego.
He like jumps in, and first of all, is like taking Jay beating CT in an elimination as like a personal affront to him, when like CT threw himself in. It's not like Jay masterminded CT's elimination. So, and then you get like, when he slams Jay onto the ground, then like pulls his body further on top of him, and then pushes his face into the sand before he gets up. It's like, you are just trying to make this worse. Like, you know how bad this was already.
Yeah, he completely, like I said, is just like he went with the full villain turn here. Not that he was like any kind of angel before this happened, but there was absolutely no reason to go that hard that fast. It was the first turn, seemingly, and he just completely did not give Jay a chance to breathe, let alone to compete. So I don't know. This doesn't seem to be going in the right direction, in a good direction for Jay at the very least. And I don't know how Rogan fits back into the game at all. I think he's got some people that he's friendly with. It sounds like he's got something with Bear. I don't know how what the deal is with Rogan and Kyle, but assuming that he does get back into the house, it feels like we're going to be just stuck with this for a while, especially he's going to get his red skull and I don't know. But I don't know. What do you think, Hody? Are we going to see him around for a while? This season?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I hope not. Like, he's the person that I want to go the most,
right?
by any means. So hopefully there's some way that happens and he isn't just like left alone, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, these seasons are long and they tend to not always go how I would like them to. So that's kind of part of the fun of it.
Yeah. And if this is it for Jay, what do you think of Jay's rookie experience here? You think we'll see him back? He was obviously pretty impressive coming in with those two elimination wins. I feel like TJ wants him back if nobody else.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to see him back, but I don't know if he's the type of person they would bring back unless they're not going to bring him back without bringing back Rogan. Right. So like, I'd rather lose Jay if I could lose Rogan as well.
Fair.
I'll take neither of them being on the show as opposed to having to have another season of Rogan. So most likely, yeah, we're going to be stuck with Rogan.
Are you, did you follow any of the, not that there's much to follow, but the whole Jay and Bananas deal, like, you know, the backstory with all them and Rogan?
Saw that maybe like yesterday on Twitter randomly. I guess Jay used to date Bananas' current girlfriend.
Correct.
Is that something that you think disadvantaged him in the game, or that's just like a rumor?
No, it's definitely something that I think play a big factor into here. Bananas, when he casts his vote for Jay, you know, he's trying to do it so like subtly and not make it like a big deal or a big thing. Like, he probably just doesn't want to give Jay any extra airtime, honestly. But Jay was dating Morgan back, you know, they were just on X on the Beach together, like, not even a year ago, or maybe it was over a year ago. And now Morgan and Bananas are like fully together, you know, living together kind of thing. So, there's definitely some animosity there from Bananas to Jay. So I'm not surprised to see that he really never stood a chance here, because all the other rookies seem to have found friends in the house somewhere. It's just, you know, Bananas leading the show and no hope for Jay, but what are you going
to
do?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I guess I could understand that to a certain extent. It wouldn't be fun to play a game like this with, you know, your girlfriend's ex. But, you know, it's also childish kind of behavior. So, you know, Johnny Bananas, get some therapy. You work on that.
Call him out. We'll get you on Champs versus Stars, the next edition.
Did you know that I got offered Champs versus Stars?
No, I didn't.
Did I never tell you that?
I don't think so.
I got that offer maybe like 3 years ago. Whenever they did the season that had Drake Bell on it, that'd be the last one, right?
I think that was right.
Yes. I don't know.
I thought so because that's when Lolo came back. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought about it for a minute because I love this show so much, but I wasn't really in. Like, I didn't want to get in like really good shape, and I was just like, and I was like, people don't really watch this, and it's like. It's the same reason why you want to do like Celebrity Big Brother. It's like people don't really like care. Like, you like a show and you want to be on like a pure version of it, not like the fake version of it. So yeah, I end up watching that season and being like, you know what? I'm glad that I'm not on this. I think I don't think I do well on reality television in that sense.
I wanted to see you on Celebrity Big Brother, but I definitely put out a couple tweets at the time, just kind of hinting in that direction. But some reason, I guess I don't have that much influence. So
I'll be on Big Brother when I'm 45 and retired. That'll be the day.
That's fine. Works for me. I pulled up that cast from it's Champs versus Stars season 3, the one that Drake Bell was on. Fun little exercise here. Who would you have wanted to work with? We've got, I'm talking from the champ side. I don't really care about the stars. CT was on there. Tony, Wes, Kayla, Tori, Shane, Ashley Mitchell, Devin, Anissa, and Cam. Who do you immediately gravitate towards?
Hold on. Give it to me one more time. So the guys were CT, Wes.
CT, Wes, Tony. Just want the guys or?
Yeah, and then I'll do the girls.
All right. CT, Wes, Tony, Shane, and Devin.
Yeah. CT, because he's a legend, whatever he wanted me to do, I would have done it, and then he would have sent me home, so that would have been good. Yeah, I would have said CT. It'd be fun. I feel like Wes is probably actually a pretty good guy. I feel like he's pretty intellectual. I think I would get along with him on a human-to-human level, and Shane seems like someone fun to talk gossip with. Not a big fan of Devin, but I feel like he'd be the only one who knew my music, so that's usually how it goes.
would you have played like the super fan card of like, I've been watching you guys for years?
Or you it didn't seem annoying? To work for Jay. CT seemed to be really annoyed by that, so you know, I think going into it I would have just been normal, because that's what you realize, like, you know, especially even meeting the Big Brother players, you're like, oh man, like, I just watched you and like I love you on the show, but like also like you're just a person who got on the show, so like probably should just treat you like a normal human, you know?
Yeah, that's
same way anyone wants to be treated, you know. Just treat people like they want to be treated. And who were the girls? We had Kayla,
Tori Deal, which I think is going to be your answer, Ashley Mitchell, and Anissa and Cam.
Yeah, I mean, definitely Tori, but probably just Kayla, because I would have just been trying to flirt with her the entire time, which brings me to my least favorite part of this episode. Very disappointed.
All right, let's go into it. There's so much to get into here. I was surprised we made it somehow over halfway, you know, over a half hour into this episode. And
I'm doing transitions for you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
I'm a podcast assistant.
You had your own podcast, and hopefully by the end of this, you'll enjoy talking about the show so much you bring it back. Kayla Casillas is back on this challenge after a couple seasons off, as mentioned, and the entire first few weeks we have been hearing all about Kayla and Bear. But Kayla has a boyfriend, but she still likes Bear's company, but Bear's not giving up, Bear's persistent. We've literally heard it for the first 4 weeks, and we've been waiting for it to come to something because we knew it was happening. And Kayla and Bear finally sealed the deal with it. Well, not sealed the deal, they had a kiss this week. We're not surprised this happened, right, Hoodie?
not surprised, but very disappointed. I'll tell you that much.
Why are you disappointed? Do you not like Bear, or do you just like Kayla so much you don't want to see her with Bear?
Neither of the reasons. I like Bear. I think he's funny. I think he's a good addition to the show. Probably one of my favorite UK members who's still on the show, just from that perspective. He's always given good stuff. Kayla, I think she's very cute. I don't think she's that great of a competitor, but like, I like seeing her on TV just simply for the fact that I think she's cute. But I have a problem with like the fact that this was going to happen and they foreshadowed it, and it just makes me not like her as much or him as much, because I just, you know, I fashion myself as a loyal person. So to see this sort of like infidelity on TV, I'm not taking it personally, but I'm just saying like it makes me not like her as a person as much, because I'm thinking about her boyfriend back home being like, oh, this poor ass dude knows this is gonna happen probably, like whatever, it's not my life. But yeah, you know, shame on you guys, Bear and Kayla, come on.
All right, so if you better. Care, if you, I don't know if you care at all about any backstory on this, but I have kind of kept up with a little bit of Kayla's story about this from the time she got home. Obviously, you know, this was a thing that was happening during the season, and the information about this hookup kind of leaked out a little bit. And by the time that it was all over, when the season was done filming, we saw that Kayla was back with Bear, living with him essentially in the UK. So the two of them were together. The boyfriend was still back home in Vegas, living like at Kayla's place with the dog, whatever the situation the two of them had together. And what Kayla was saying at the time was that she did get out of that relationship because there was a day or something happened where they were at a club, and her boyfriend's name is Mikey. Mikey was texting pictures of Kayla without clothes on to another girl to try to get that girl to be in a threesome with them. And I think that was Kayla's story. I don't know how confirmed that is, if that really happened or not. So Kayla said that that is something that happened. And I think what she was trying to say was that she let it go. But then on the challenge, maybe when this started to happen, she was trying to stay loyal. She wasn't like trying to get revenge on him. But after she did what she did, she was like, well, why is it so bad? Because you did this in the past. So basically trying to, I guess, make it seem like it was justified, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I think my takeaway from that is these people, I guess, aren't who we know them to be from just TV alone. So, like, it's really hard, I guess, make any judgments on them. And maybe we should just enjoy the ride, because they're probably going to be maybe not make all the same decisions that we would make in terms of taste and otherwise. But I just searched her on Twitter, and it seems like she's with a new person.
She is.
Not named.
Yes. Yep.
Bear. So, you know, cool.
If you get time in quarantine, you can either watch some Love Island or you can watch some more X on the Beach. Sam is her current boyfriend, and that's the two shows that he's been on, which she was not on. That's not how she met him, but she is now with Sam Bird, so...
You know what? Maybe these people just want to continue their reality relevance no matter what, and they're just continuing to circle around with each other. That's what I think. Yeah, that's my hot take.
You're probably onto something there.
Yeah, definitely think Sam is trying to make his way over to the challenge.
Yeah, without question. I think people were putting a lot of that on Mikey, saying that this whole thing was happening like it was staged or planned because Kayla was trying to get Mikey on the challenge so that he would, you know, after this whole thing, like Kayla and Mikey would come on as exes or something like that. I don't know how likely that is to happen with Kayla being in a relationship right now. She's seems pretty happy with this guy, but hey, what do I know? I would have said that she seemed pretty happy with Mikey before she went on the show. So
I feel like they're a lot more likely to take Kayla and Bear, and I would be very happy to not get Mikey on the challenge. So I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, Huddy, you think Kayla and Bear would be a good team? Or are you out on that?
No, I'm out on all these people. the only people that I'm in on still are Maddie. That's it. That's the only person I like.
Why do you like Maddie so much?
And Melissa. I like Melissa too. She's so nice. That's it.
So nice and so pregnant.
She's pregnant?
She's pregnant right now on the challenge.
Well, you know so much more than I do.
Yes, Melissa got home from filming. You know, nobody, or at least we don't know like how long she lasted on there, but apparently the entire time she was filming, she was pregnant. And she is, like right now, at this very moment, she is 9 months pregnant. The baby is expected any day now, I believe, so.
Oh, that's irresponsible. Let's take her off the list.
Yeah, and he's the parent. I don't know. There's rumors that have come out that the father is some like shamed like footballer from the UK, which is like not a great guy.
Yeah. Wait, we're not done with Baron Kayla yet. But what do you love so much about Maddie?
Oh man, I just I don't know.
Did you like the fight with Ashley? Yet.
Well, I like Ashley too. So I can appreciate. I'd be like a person who's like, you're both my friend. Do your thing. If you need to fight, it's okay. I got both your backs. But yeah, I like Maddie because I think she comes in and is like an intimidating girl who backs up her stuff and like she hasn't got like I think she's gonna play like I think she's just gonna be here for the long game in this season. Mm-hmm. So I'm investing in her stock right now before people know how good she is.
Fair enough. Big Ashley fan, I hope. This is a podcast of big Ashley fans.
Big Ashley fan. I feel like she gets, you know, like manipulated or like the image of her is manipulated on the show a little bit unfairly at times. I found myself in a YouTube wormhole about like the craziest moves or the whatever, some sort of MTV challenge YouTube content. And it was like the Ashley and Hunter finale moment, mm-hmm. which is like even more devastating than bananas and taking all the money from Sarah in that season. And I don't know. I kind of rock with her for that, though, because Hunter was kind of a piece of shit that whole season to her. So I'm glad she did it. And I think like that was a really badass move. And she was always cemented as good in my book from that move.
Yeah, she's done a couple of interviews. I think I might have talked about this last week. She's been doing a couple more interviews than usual. I guess quarantine has got everybody inside just hopping on phone calls, which is not a problem to me. She did actually an interview on Challenge Mania, which she had not been on for a while. And she was talking about the Hunter thing and basically saying, you know, just, you know, more of the same of what we already knew about why she took the money from him. And I still stand by her on that. And then this season, she's talking about how, you know, she just didn't have any friends and did her best to kind of make friends. But my takeaway from every interview that I heard is that she mentioned at least 2 to 3 times on each interview, yep, I'm just hanging out here waiting until they give me the next call. So Ashley is like ready to keep going for season after season until they stop calling her. And I don't think they're going to stop calling her. So I'm just thrilled about that.
Yeah. I think it's a little unfortunate, you know, when I look at this game, from season to season, the guys do kind of dominate a lot of the politics and a lot of the flow. I think a lot of the girls do take a more like, you know, regressive backseat and kind of go with whatever their male partner plans are in this game. And Ashley is kind of like the one girl who you can't really say that for, who's not afraid to make moves and try to do things. And like, I respect her for that. And she, you know, when Bananas, they may have alluded to this on the show, but when Banana calls her out for that, you know, he's just calling her out for his own, you know, seeing his own behavior within her. And it's like threatening, but I don't think there's much of a difference between the type of game that a Bananas plays in terms of using social capital and moving it around that Ashley plays. So, you know, I wish that they would team up. I think that would be a really unstoppable team somehow, but that's not going to happen.
Well, let me take that and bounce off of it a little bit. We will get back to Kayla and Bear eventually. But Ashley, last season, what did you make of Ashley and her method of getting in with people that she truly like hated? She had so many bad things to say about Kara and Pauly for a while, but then she ended up in an alliance with Kara, Pauly, Cam, Ninja, whoever else, and that group ended up dominating the entire game. Obviously, we saw how the final played out, but like her game has just been evolving over time to be super impressive. Were you surprised to see her come together with Kara last season?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's impressive. I wasn't like rooting for that side in the last season, so like, you know, again, that felt I kind of went with whatever the other side was there. I felt like they were. It's hard because it's like Kara and Pauly are just hard to root for. So you like you wanted to stay away from anything that Pauly was masterminding, at least in my opinion. But yeah, Ashley is a chameleon in that sense, and she's really good at finding her place most of the time. And on a personal level, I find it to be impressive, and that's why she's done so well in these challenges. But it didn't. I guess, you know, it just got exposed a little bit too early here, or just the target was too big on her back. And there's so many people in this cast. It's easy for, you know, 8 of the people who really like don't matter to just kind of go under the radar, and someone who has a big target in their back, they're gone before you know it.
Yeah. I do already miss Ashley, and definitely going to miss her the entire rest of the season, but
I miss Ashley.
What are we going to do? All right, let's bounce back. I promised. I kept saying, let's go. Kayla and Bear. Scally, it's not surprising that this actually happened, obviously, But were you surprised at like how easy it seemed for Bear to kind of get his way eventually here? Like Kayla was talking about how, you know, I like his company or whatever, but it seemed like they were just brushing teeth and one thing led to another. And we got a very quick little make out that just Kayla, you know, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, there was like heavy flirting and like early in the episode and like in the season, you're just like, oh my God, he's so annoying, but like, I like it and blah, blah, blah. And so you get like where she like kicks him in the bathroom, he like grabs her leg. So I was like, all right, like this is when it's happening. And I was disappointed where like they cut to her confessional and cut back and all of a sudden they're making out. I was like, what led to this? Like, why did you cut the like that part out? That's where I want to know. But unfortunately, we didn't get that. Like you've said, we've seen this coming, so I've been ready for it for a while, and I'm going to enjoy for what it is while it's happening.
Yeah, a couple of good moments here, as after that whole thing happens, we get the producer asking Kayla, is Bear a good kisser, and she like doesn't want to answer that. Also, got to clock the fact that Bear was concealing himself a little bit after this whole thing happened. It was Bananas himself tweeted out a screenshot. I think the caption was like, when you're in middle school and make out with a girl for the first time, and like if you pause the episode of the challenge on this scene after the Kayla and Bear make out, I can't speak, you will see that Bear is fully, right after that happened. And then as he walks out of the room, he's got his hand in his pocket to kind of control things down there. So Bear got a little excited.
Is that going to be the picture that we use for the podcast photo?
It is not. Colin will not approve. The two of them are pretty locked in here. Like, I guess in terms of gameplay, Hoodie, do you think that, first of all, Bear's never going to win a season? That's pretty much confirmed. He's the entertainment guy, and he's always going to be one of the guys that can't make it through as many eliminations as we need to. But can Kayla, like, any hope for her this season?
No.
What about the Unholy Trinity?
who's the Trinity is her, Nani and Jenna.
Yeah.
We need some new people.
Getting tired of Jenna?
We just need some new people in this regard. You know, like, I was excited when we had Georgia. Like, that's a girl who can make it to a final and do some stuff. Like, I wanted those type of players who also have entertainment value. And I personally, and I'm not, this is my personal feeling, and I don't want it to come off as a personal attack on them, I'm just not as like, you know, if you've been on the show for like 10 seasons, it's never happened for you, and you're kind of like not all that interesting. I don't know if we like, what is Nani's role on the show anymore other than like trying to flirt with like the one new guy who's on?
Yeah, no, that's it. Just she comes in, she gets the kiss of death.
No win challenges, you know, she's not, it's just, I would like to see some new people in that regard, and I don't know if they feel comfortable phasing out those type of players, but that's just, I don't want her to be replaced by the Caseys of the world, but like, just give me someone, you know,
Georgia.
Yeah. Give me a Georgia, like all day long for sure.
Well, yeah, and Jenny comes in here, obviously is here to play.
Jenny's here to play, but she's just straight a physical presence and nothing else.
Oh, yeah, probably, no, she's boring.
Maddie, because we had Maddie with some romantic things with Kyle. Plus, she's physical, and like, I like that aspect about her. You know, it's hard to find the people who can be a balance, you know, where it's like, yes. And that's why I like Tori as well and Ashley, because like, they're going to win. They're also going to mess around and like be part of like the drama. And that's it.
Scally, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, so this is actually like the first time that we've actually at least gotten to see Nani, Jenna, and Kayla all in a season together. So I was like, I think back in the day, I was like interested, would Jenna get pulled between like her two best friends? But like, either way, it worked out. Like, I was excited to see it play out. I've definitely said in the past that I am a little bit over Jenna and Nani being on like every season, every other season. I think that their time is kind of come and gone. But I like when they take a move with someone like a Big T who goes out early but like showed some promise, and like, you know what, give them another shot over someone like Jenna, especially if she's not going to come back with Zach. And this is not me asking for Zach back, trust me, but like she's really not bringing anything else besides that relationship drama. So if he's not going to come back with her, then like why are we having Jenna back again?
Yeah, and I think this cast has people that fill those roles of like, you know, the opposite of what Jenna and Nani are giving us right now. We have people like Melissa, who was a firecracker and also showed that she can win eliminations when she first came on the show, but she's been like playing a good game this season selfishly while pregnant and not doing a whole lot in terms of drama. So we haven't seen much from her on that end, but we have seen from Bailey. So Bailey, I feel like, is the most promising person with that part of the show. I feel like she's been involved in a whole lot of drama, not drama, but like she's been somebody that's not afraid to be vocal. And then next week it looks like she's going to get into it with Jordan a little bit. So that should be fun. But do you think, Hoodie, do you think that like you would like these people, like the Jennas and Nannies, if they were on more of a Anissa kind of schedule where they only came back once every few seasons, or you just want to kind of say goodbye and thanks for the memories?
No, I think we need to get rid of Anissa too, but I think we keep Anissa in like a veterans, like a fresh blood versus like OG or like a all stars or something like that format. And I pulled up IMDb while I'm on here with you guys, because I was trying to think like who is someone that I miss and what it's so I went to like the whole full credits of like the challenge since 1998, right? Mm-hmm. And what it's highlighting to me are some of the players that we haven't seen maybe since like 2012, 2013. And like specifically Paula or Tanya, if you remember either of them.
Of course.
And they kind of ran this course of like 7 seasons, like 100 episodes or so of the show. Shout out to IMDb. And we're kind of at that point with Nani. This is her like I think 8th or 9th season, and we're kind of at that point with Jenna as well, where we're about 100 episodes deep on them, and they've never won, and it's kind of are you missing Paula anymore? I'm not necessarily missing Paula. You know, like I think we need some fresh blood. We're kind of at the point where like this should be some of those people's last season and go with it. Although I would bring back Kenny Santucci. I think he was dope, and like Evan. And I'm always down for more Laurel. Laurel hasn't like worn out her welcome to me. Like, give me like a Laurel and Evelyn, people like that who like kind of are only a couple seasons in.
Yeah, that feels like a whole different era at this point that like they just kind of left behind.
Well, I think even more than they've left it behind, I think that some of those people have really left the challenge behind. And so, like, there's a few people on that list that either have relationships with production where it's never happening ever that they're coming back.
Yeah.
Or, like, I know Paula is a mom now. She said basically, like, I'm not coming. Even if it's a Champs for Stars, it's not happening. So, I like, that type of thing. But I agree in terms of, like, a Laurel or, like, because I do think that there is the risk, especially when you say, like Jenna and Nani, like they've been on too many seasons, and then like someone's gonna say, what about Wes and Bananas? But like if you were to compare, like Ashley hasn't been on that many seasons, but I don't see myself getting tired of Ashley after 8 to 10 seasons, as long as she keeps acting like this. Like, give me Ashley every time. I just want like both men and women who are like more proactive in the game, whether it's strategizing or entertainment. Mm-hmm. So that's where I stand right now.
Also, bring back Svetlana.
No one can find her, apparently.
What?
She's just like disappeared, allegedly. She's like this was off of like a Challenge Media interview too. I forget who was speaking about her, but they said she's like a graffiti artist in like LA and like hides in warehouses and stuff.
What?
Gotcha. Yeah, that's was it. Did was you, like a wild story.
Did anyone see the Evelyn video that was out this past week or two?
Saw like the smallest clip, but yeah, I didn't see it.
I think it was like she was doing something for maybe a charity in relation to the virus or something like that. That she made a video, and it was just like the first time that Challenge fans have seen her in what, like 10 years or something like that. It's been a while. I don't think that she's coming back, but it was nice to see her. It was nice to see that she's like alive.
And she looks exactly the same.
She does.
I think we have good hope for the future. If we phase out, if some of these people do get phased out and we bring in, you know, people from these UK shows or like Big Brother, like I'm down to see who won Big Brother last season.
Jackson.
Yeah, Mickey. I'm down to see Jackson on the challenge. I think he would thrive on the challenge. I don't know what the contract stipulate on that, or even Jack.
No, Jack sucks.
Yeah.
But like, I think he would thrive on the challenge.
Probably. I mean, they do cast some pretty terrible people.
He follows me on Instagram, so...
Oh, that's why.
Can't say that.
But yeah, yes. No, the contracts are pretty shitty for these guys. They're locked into, like, I think a 2-year deal that they can't go anywhere. So I don't know if we're going to see them anytime soon. I know they got calls, a couple of the people from BB20, but I don't know that they're able to actually make the jump. The BB20 people, this is a year after, so they had the 1 year contract, and that's why they were able to film a year after they got out of the house. But BB21 might be out for a while. But then again, Challenge might be not filming for a while anyway. So
that is true. Well, also, if Big Brother's not going to do an All-Star season, then stop signing these people for so long.
I know. It's annoying as hell, especially like MTV and CBS. You guys came together. You're best friends now, and you're still going to lock up these people like this? It's annoying. But I don't know. I totally take your point, Hoodie, and I don't disagree with you. There are certain people that I do like to see from time to time. So that's why, like, the Anissa thing, I do like that she still comes back every once in a while, because as a television character, I have a hard time, like, saying goodbye permanently to some of these people. That's like, you know, when some of them leave, they leave, and then, like, they're gone forever. Sarah Rice, I love Sarah, but, you know, once she had her dramatic finish with Bananas on the mountain and she lost her money, you know, she was never going to come back. She didn't get to go out on a high note of this series or anything like that. So I don't know. I have a pretty tough relationship in determining when I want people to actually leave, but I don't need them all. I think at the same time, I don't need Jenna and Nani and Anissa here. I don't even know, but I don't know. We'll see how they correct that over time if they do. But then we're going to be stuck with like the D's and Ninjas forever if they don't want to keep expanding.
Yeah. I think we would benefit from more expansion and benefit from a world where, you know, like, that's why I loved when we got that whole influx of the UK people with Theo, guys like that. I mean, I think, like, I'm missing, like, a Theo on this season. Like, yeah, that would have been a great counter to, like, some of the dynamics going on. But I think there's huge hope for the Challenge going forward. Like, they're good at finding new people to stay interesting. I just think some of the loyalties that they have, I feel like Anissa's on here, that's fine. That's great. But it's so random because there's no one else. Like bring Anissa back, have Derek on too, have some other OGs who are like OGs who we haven't seen in a while. Have Mark Long on. Like, I don't know. Just kind of make it a community, not just have her there by herself. Where, like, what's Anissa's relationship to? I don't know.
My call of the episode is going to be, I think Theo will win a challenge before his career is over. Ooh. Like, and pretty soon. That guy is just built for the show, and he's an athlete. He just needs to make some more friends before he comes back, and I think he can do that. So
yeah, my bigger concern is him getting cleared to come back after his injury. But if that does happen, then I definitely can see him winning.
Yeah. What about some of the other guys out here, Hoodie? Like the Nelsons and the Coreys, and like, are we sick of them yet, or are we kind of still giving them a chance to see if they can pull out a win here, or maybe this is it and then the last chance?
If you're just trying to get my straight opinion on people,
yeah,
I like Corey a lot. Don't know why. Just find him to be a lot more engaging than a Nelson. Nelson, it's just hard for me to like him because I know he's just so stupid. It's just like he's never going to be on a critical thinker in this game. So he's going to be able to be used as a pawn by other people and manipulated around. I like Corey, though. And, you know, as much as I didn't like the whole, like, what do they call themselves? Like, when it's Corey, Nelson, and Hunter, and Young Bucks. Like, I was, like, not excited about the idea of Young Bucks being the new generation of the Challenge, you know. At least it was something. And I just want there to be something there. So it's, the stakes are things that, like, us as a viewer can get invested in. And you know, for there be multiple sides and not just be, like, the Johnny show always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those guys have been a pretty good foil to Johnny over the years of, like, just being, you know, a competitor against him. And this season, it seems like that's not really as much of a thing. I feel like, you know, especially like Bananas and Corey seem to be kind of friendly, at least from what it looked like in that challenge. Bananas like kind of picking on Corey in a way that I feel like if they were actually against each other, maybe he wouldn't. But then again, it's Bananas, so I don't know. But I mean, those guys haven't been seeming to be in too much danger besides Nelson. Nelson was kind of, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about that. Is Nelson in more danger than I think he is, Scally?
I think his name's been floated around because, like we said, there was like a swaggy Nelson fight. So his name probably got, you know, brought to the surface because of that. But like we saw, like Corey and Nelson and a few other people were really trying to push for Bananas 1 week. So it's so hard to tell where these lines like lie, because, I mean, you have this. I know we're talking about Nelson, but like even you have like Nani being like, yeah, I'm down to throw in Jordan. But then Jenna says like, I can't do that. And then Tori won't even say Jordan's name, but Jordan's saying his own name, and Bananas is working with him. And D doesn't know that Wes and Bananas are working. So it's like, I don't know who anyone is working with at all this season. So it's kind of a hard question to answer of who's in trouble anymore.
Yeah, he's had his name up there, I think, twice now, just in terms of the tribunal that has called him in to question him. But yeah, I don't know. I think he's just somebody who, like they said to him in the in that tribunal, they said, none of us have talked game with you, so we really don't know where your head's at. And I can't imagine that's, you know, I feel like if all four of them are on the same page with that, it's probably just him trying to play that West game where West is not playing the West game. I'm talking about like how he's trying to play possum and hide a little bit. And maybe Nelson's doing that a little too well, where nobody feels good about him. Like West has the relationships where if he hides a little bit, people will still be able to come back to him, but Nelson's been gone for a while. He needs to make those relationships before he goes into hiding. So
for sure, I really think, actually, now that I think about it, because Wes did have, we had that Wes and D scene where Wes really wanted to throw Jordan in this week, and it even talked about doing it every single week moving forward, which, I mean, given like Jordan's prowess that he's shown recently, I don't think that's a bad idea, especially if Wes needs to start getting out some of Banana's allies. I don't know if, again, don't know if Banana's and Jordan are working together, but they were last season. So I really think that Nelson and even Rogan would be like really good people to consider throwing in against a Jordan, just like with Nelson's elimination record and relative size. I think that's like probably where he's going to get used as a tool.
Mm-hmm. Before we get too far away from it, Hoodie, do you have any other names on that list that you were wanted to shout out?
People I like on this show?
Anybody else from that IMDb page that you wanted to do?
from the IMDb page. Yeah, Joanna Bada. She was so spicy.
I remember her.
I just remembered The Real World was a thing, and that's where all these people came from, going through IMDb. Did you know that Wes was on The Real World Austin in 2005? Like, that's his origin to this show. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember Wes being a person on The Real World. Like, that season was, that's where Joanna was also on that season, mm-hmm. as well as some other people who maybe appeared in like one or two challenges. And then the next year was Real World Key West, and that's where Johnny Bananas originated, alongside mm-hmm. Svetlana, Tyler, and Paula. So it's weird to see these people, like specifically like the like key sort of figures of this like MTV show that kind of were curated 15 years ago at this point. Like, it's literally been like 15 years. And now I'm kind of going down a whole like wormhole of like Real World cast and trying to see, like, Leroy was on The Real World Las Vegas 2010. Like, oh, that's just wild.
Yeah, if you didn't say
Nani,
Leroy.
And Nani.
Nani, yes. Nani and Leroy were together. Dustin was on that cast.
Yeah. Yep.
Was on that cast too, yeah.
Yeah, I have like an embarrassing talent of like names, and so I'm just going to rattle out the entire cast. But really? Yeah, pretty much. But do a Wikipedia deep dive. That's a very fun one to like organize by like who's won the most money, who's been on the most seasons, who's done this. So Diego, definitely worth your time.
Short didn't do anything for Real World San Diego. Anyway, people are probably not interested in that, but I'm now going to spend half an hour here being like, wow, I remember loving The Real World, but like, it's just weird to look back at these and like be like, oh, this person was who? Yeah.
No, it's crazy because you mentioned all these names that like we haven't heard in a while, but I feel like I would have thought about some of these names like Paula before the next time I thought about Leroy, which is pretty sad.
He's wild.
Talk about people who are, you know, probably should just retire.
Jordan was on The Real World. Like, I just thought Jordan was like
Portland
from the challenge. Like, you know, because they would sometimes randomly bring in people. Like, there was that one season, I think it was Fresh Meat, where it's like, these people have no connection to anything. Here you go. And they just became like challenge people.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. I feel like that was like with like Evan, the guy from Canada.
That was Evan and Kenny and Laurel and Cara and DM. And they all came in that way.
All of them were completely unconnected from this universe.
Mm-hmm.
Wild.
Are you, Hoodie, you watching any other shows right now where like, you watch Big Brother, but any other shows that you, like reality things that might have people that we could take as like a feeder show into this challenge world?
As a feeder show potentially, but like, this is my first time watching Survivor, which I know is silly. I know we talked about that a little bit, but this is my first time ever watching Survivor, so I guess I've spoiled 20 seasons worth of winners by doing that, but it's really interesting. I really like Survivor, and I would continue to watch it now that I've watched this season so far.
Natalie Anderson is probably the top pick from there to get on the season of the challenge, if she would ever be down after she just ran laps around everybody.
It would have been a Natalie from Big Brother not returning back on here. That's a girl I think I liked and we miss a little bit.
Good question. She just kind of went out early one season, and I think they just were like, all right, we can take a break now that people aren't really too attached to her.
Yeah. She did beat Bananas in that one endurance challenge. I remember that.
Yeah. I don't think the door's closed on her. I definitely think that we could see her again sometime, like even as soon as next season. I feel like they needed to take a little break because they were just kind of rotating people in, especially as the UK people started to come in. But I definitely wouldn't be surprised if we see her again. Devana, obviously holding out hope for Devon to come back in here.
Have they filmed another season yet?
They have not. No.
And that's probably in... like hiatus indefinitely at the moment, right?
They would have started to film very soon if it wasn't like if they weren't wouldn't have already been out there right now. They would have been filming within the next few weeks. So that Survivor, everything is pretty much on hold. Even Big Brother at this point, we don't have any confirmation that it's even going to happen this summer. So it's pretty pretty rough time to not exactly a rough time right now. The rough time is going to be coming up in a couple months when we are missing our favorite shows. But for now, you know, between Survivor and this, who do you, can we take like a 5-minute sidebar about any Survivor thoughts you have?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to get off of the Wikipedia of Real World Explosion, which gave us
Ashley
Jenna,
Mitchell.
Corey, and Ashley. How do these people spend the real world together and not like each other? I have no idea. But yeah, Survivor thoughts. This is my first time ever watching Survivor, so I didn't know who Tony was or Boston Rob or Tyson or any of these people. They're completely foreign to me, so I don't have any allegiances to them, and I don't know the ideal way to play this game. I find it so interesting, but I've been enjoying it because I kind of maybe it's predictable for someone who's watched the show often, but I just never know how the votes are gonna go, like ever. And especially as someone who like has come up now watching Big Brother so much and knowing that a lot of these are just going to be these unanimous votes and it's like the week is set in stone before you even get there. Survivor's sort of tribal council is intimately interesting to me.
In what way?
It's unpredictable, you know, and the way that people are kind of talk right out, like the way that like Jeff Probst kind of like probes them for a conversation, no pun intended. I think all of it's really intriguing, and the idols, I don't know, there's just a lot of aspects to it that are that are new to me that make it really interesting. And I think that not this last episode but two episodes ago where there was like I'm playing this, I'm playing that, that seemed to be like a particularly special tribal council, or like rare that there'd be so many like different things. And
just you wait till you get into a rewatch or watch some more seasons. They have some crazier stuff out there.
Not quite as rare as we might like sometimes, but it just depends. Like this season definitely is a lot more of like everyone jumping up and talking at tribal. Yeah. But as you go through, like it gets more and more complicated.
There's a season that I would never recommend that you watch, so I'm going to kind of tell you what happens at the final six here. But the final six of one of these seasons, there is a round, like I said, the final six, where the only person that is eligible to go home is the only person who did not have an advantage. So there's five people that play an idol or have immunity or have some form of safety, and the only other person that did not had to go home by default.
That seems unfortunate.
It was not great.
And it was a fan favorite, and it was crushing, and we don't talk about that season anymore because of the devastating results.
Has that person been brought back at all?
That was her fourth season.
Oh,
and she had not won yet. It was somebody who the fans loved, and like I said, she had not gotten a win, and she's not been brought back since, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see her again if she's still down to play because she is so beloved, but I don't know. But yeah, so did you say who you're liking or who you're not liking?
I haven't said. I think I need to look at who's still in this season.
We got Tony, Jeremy, Michelle, Denise, Sarah, Nick, Ben, but don't say those names.
Okay, so I can tell you, I'm just kind of enjoying it like week by week because I don't have any favorites. So like I can kind of watch it and decide how I feel about a person week to week. I don't like Ben. I can tell you that off the top. I kind of like Nick as a person who can go far, but I don't know if I like him as like a person. I just feel like he's going to be like sneaky enough to get far.
Right.
I like Denise. Is that an okay one to like?
Yeah, we love Denise.
We can like Denise.
I liked Sophie. She got voted out, though.
Mm-hmm. Good opinion.
And Tony's like the goat, right? So is it
If he wins this season, he's pretty much locking himself in as the GOAT. He obviously, you know that he won a season. He came back. This is his third appearance here, and he came back another time, and he didn't do too well. But I don't think many people are holding that one against him, especially if he can pull this off. But I don't know. Pretty tough.
There will be arguments either way. But Tony definitely is a very, very impressive player.
I mean, I guess, yeah. Like, I really like Jeremy. I just feel like he's got things stacked against him or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun season. I'm glad you decided to jump in. You know, it's a weird season to jump in. One of my best friends also jumped in for this season because I think she was just watching with her family. But either way, I was like, you know what? If you're going to, you know, either watch it or like, I'd rather you watch the season and get spoiled on the other seasons than just not watch this at all. Like, might as well just pick this time to jump in and become a Survivor fan because it's obviously such a epic season. So glad you're on board with that. Are you watching with like other people in your quarantine world?
I'm not. It is a solo dolo experience for me, which kind of was the case for Big Brother, my first Big Brother season. It was me watching it by myself, and then I got my brother to be a big fan. I don't know if you know this, but my brother went to high school with Caitlin, so him and all of his friends started watching that season because Caitlin Herman was on it, and I was like, just wait, you're going to like love this show. Like, just give it like a couple episodes. And by then they were so hooked into everything. And, you know, now I've indoctrinated him as a big fan and he loves it. But that probably wouldn't have happened without the personal connection. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Love the Long Island connections.
Long Island connections, baby.
Plainview shout outs. yeah. So I don't know. What else? We got Survivor talk in. We got the IMDb rundown. Anything, Scally, what did I miss from this episode? We got some Jenna and Zach drama. Somehow Zach worked his way onto the screen. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't talk about the challenge, but I think that's more than okay.
Any takes from the car, from anything that happened there?
No,
I didn't think so.
I mean, except for Corey trying to blow himself up by touching a bomb over and over.
Yeah, what an idiot. Like, he ran past the thing just to have everybody screaming at him. It's like, where did you think it was? The big block that you were supposed to put these things in was right there. There was nothing else around you.
I do have one note on that challenge. It felt way underwhelming compared to everything else we've seen this season. Mm-hmm. There was a little confessional we get from Jordan being like, I'm the decoder because I have to be this. It's like, is the decoder's job to know four colors and then run? Because that doesn't seem like a really good job, my dude. I felt like there was just like two running portions that weren't important, and like clearly they probably weren't excited about it because half the people didn't even complete it because they missed the instructions. So kind of an underwhelming challenge.
Yeah. Highlights from that, obviously Jay, not much of a highlight, but Jay missing the entire equation was pretty rough. You could tell he was beating himself up over that. So rough way to go, but I mean, hey, it does happen to everybody on the show once in a while. And it was cool to see like Kayla and Wes and Nani all kind of reassuring him that like, it's all right. It happens. So that was nice. But yeah, the Jordan thing was kind of funny. Cause he was like, you know, usually I would have just put myself in the car. Like that's the coolest thing to do, but you know, I'm going to put myself in a better spot here. All right, dude.
Yeah. He had to like look at the answer key and take three polls and like made it seem like a big thing. I really did like Big T's line of saying that she's always wanted to set off a bomb, which I thought was like a weird life goal.
Right.
And Kyle had another confessional talking about how like he and Corey are idiots. So he's going to let like the girls do everything.
Swaggy and we see more of Swaggy's confidence here where he is the smartest guy in the house. He says he works with numbers, so putting him on this equation was the smartest move. Between that and then the Bear thing that happened, I think Bear was one of the first people to go up, and Bear like not getting the first number and then screaming over the walkie-talkie. He's I guess never seen a walkie-talkie in his life. He's obviously great TV. I think Hoodie, you said you're a fan of him just as a TV character at least, right?
Yeah, as a TV character for sure. And I like Swaggy more in this game than I do in Big Brother, which is wild to say. But I also have a pet peeve when people say that they have a photographic memory and they don't. Mm-hmm. And I think he's guilty of that. Don't worry, I got this. I have a photographic memory. You don't. You lost. You forgot. You might think you have a good memory. It's not photographic.
Not photographic. Surprised, I don't know if I've said this yet on the podcast, but I'm surprised to see TJ calling Swaggy C without any kind of like hesitation I would have expected maybe he would have been like, you want me to call him what?
True. But,
I don't know. I guess he's all in on the Swaggy C branding. Maybe Swaggy got him a t-shirt. And
do you guys have any predictions for how the season's going to go? You may have already said this a while ago.
I think usually what I say is, like, it's hard to bet against Jordan at this point. Just like his last couple of appearances, he's proven that just like an absolute beast. And I think like odds on favorite is Jenny right now on the woman's side. But really, again, unless we know like how the alliances go, like I think Jordan might have a difficult road with Wes already looking to target him. But depending on how the format shakes out, like really anything could happen.
Yeah, my only people that I am kind of flagging up as I think are looking to do well here is the Big Brother squad. Probably all four of them I feel pretty good about. They've just been laying super low. The fact that not a single one of them has been brought up as a rookie to go in yet. Fessy being the big athlete that he is, super impressive. Like, I feel like all four of them can make it to, at the very least, the halfway point of the season. Like, they are all looking pretty good so far. And while the vets are all kind of imploding on each other, Josh and Wes and Jordan and Wes and Bananas and whoever, everybody's kind of fighting. I feel like they can lay low and coast a little bit. I feel good about Corey this season. I don't know if I think he's playing necessarily like a great game because we haven't seen a whole lot of it, but the confessionals about being here for his family, that usually kind of ties in that he might be around for a little while. But yeah, that's probably my main takeaway so far. What about you, Hoodie?
Yeah, no, I have to agree. I think Corey, there's a weird energy in the edit around Corey where I think they are trying to like make him a little bit of a fan favorite, because I've never really been like, oh man, Corey, but they kind of are making him pretty likable this season, so I think he might be around for a bit. Definitely be a contender for a final. I feel like Fessy has maybe the best chance of the Big Brother people of being there as well, just because who wants to go against him? I mean, he can only be tripped up on something mental, like in terms of like elimination. So yeah, it'll be interesting. I kind of concur with your guys' opinions, but I'm rooting for Maddie, and I'm rooting for not Rogan. Maddie and not Rogan.
Tori. You're kind of rooting for Tori.
Yeah, Maddie, Tori on the girl's side, and let's go Fessy and Jordan on the guy's side, and maybe Kyle.
Yeah, I still like Kyle. I like I have nothing against him. I feel like the only person we haven't talked about, so I guess let's wrap it up with a final thought on the player of the season so far, the breakout star. Hoodie, what's your take on Big T?
Love Big T, entertainment value-wise. Totally down to see more of Big T, for sure. I don't actually have that many thoughts. You think that she's the breakout of the season?
I'm kind of being sarcastic in a little bit of a sense, but Scally is a big fan of Big T. And she's been getting a lot more airtime than I think I would have expected. She's just been kind of, there was the whole thing last week where Bananas was like, look, we're watching her grow up in front of our eyes. And she was playing the game a little bit. She got a few confessionals this week. So I don't know, she kind of is popping off the screen a little bit in a way, like I said, that I didn't expect.
My fear, I guess, is that they're probably going to come to a week in this season where a bunch of people haven't had the opportunity to have skulls, and there's going to be some sort of, I mean, I don't know how they plan to do this. I don't know if you have any insight into that, but I feel like Big T might be on the outside looking in terms of skulls. And if there is a competition for like four people to get one skull, you know, is going to be at a disadvantage there, or if it's just like a, you missed your chance, you're out sort of thing. I think that might be a place where we could lose a Big T. Mm-hmm.
I think we're probably sooner going to get to the point where like Maddie looks at her and is like, yeah, I want her. Like, I am going to run through her. So a little nervous for her there. But like entertainment wise, like, I'm glad she's got this second chance. She's like fun. I don't think she's like winning this season anytime soon. But like, I like having her around.
Yeah, I have been enjoying the Big T, and I'm glad that she's here. I have to agree with Hoodie that, you know, she's probably not going to make it too far once she ends up going into an elimination. I don't know that I see her making it out of it. And as far as, you know, how they're going to do this with the format once eliminations kind of, you know, we get closer to the end, we've been talking about it a little bit here and there, and it's still kind of unclear, but, you know, it's a little bit of a ways away. I think that we probably are going to end up seeing eliminations where either they have like multiple rounds, or there's just like you know, two or three or four people that have to, or, you know, three or four people that have to go in at once. And TJ's kind of making it clear to them that, like, you guys don't know what's coming, so you should be going into elimination sooner than later. So I don't know. They might even have different kind of tricks up their sleeve along the way that we're not going to expect. And I'd be here for it. I think I've been enjoying the Red Skull aspect so far, and if he's going to shake up the game and put some vets in spots where they're not usually, you know, used to seeing, good to me. Like Jenna, Nani, 100%. Anissa, I don't know, those guys might be in for a surprise when the time comes, so I don't know. But yeah, Scally, did I miss anything else? We've got, I'm sure we missed a couple things here and there, but it was not the most exciting episode. We got some, I feel like, mostly set up for future episodes of Wes versus Josh might come up again, Jordan versus Wes, this, you know, cliffhanger of if Jay's alive or not.
I would say the only, like, one note I have that I thought was, like, super cringy was Dee's, like, voting speech where she's like, Bear is like Rogan's brother and it will make him miserable if he's gone. And if he's miserable, I will in turn be miserable. And it's like, oh my God, calm down. But, like, otherwise, I think we really covered everything.
Yeah, that reminded me of something I wanted to ask earlier. Hoodie, what did you make of the Bear fire extinguisher drama last week? He got a pretty heavy fine, but I don't know. What do you was that entertaining or was he kind of crossing a line?
I would have been pissed off. If I was there, I wouldn't have been entertained at all. I would have been really annoyed and been like, this guy just wants TV time so bad. No, I gotta. So yeah, I don't know. That was a one red mark against Bear. I thought that maybe crossed the line.
Yeah, I think Nelson's on your side with that one. Gave Bear his vote this week.
Side, but, you know, if I have to be on Nelson's side once, it'll be this principled stance.
It'll be for this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see how this develops with Bear and Kayla. Maybe Kayla's relationship won't work out and we'll send her your way over to your DMs, but I don't know.
No, I'm good. I'm out on that.
All right.
But I think she's cute.
All right. Any other thoughts you have, Hoodie, before we get out of here? Anything about the challenge, about Survivor, anything else that we did not get to today?
No, just, you know, stay safe, everyone. Quarantine is an interesting time, but at least we've got our guilty pleasure reality TV to keep us company. So, you know, stay safe and watch the challenge.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Still got to stay inside, even though some people out there are trying to get things moving a little bit faster than others, but whatever. So that's that. Hoodie, of course, if people are not checking out everything with Hoodie Allen, I don't know what's wrong with you. Get over to your iTunes feed, check out some of that music, download it. Anything specific that you want people to be checking out right now if they are not? Anything going on?
I don't know. Go on Spotify. Search it if you feel like it, if you've enjoyed my commentary today. But otherwise, hopefully I'll be back on the podcast soon and we can talk more challenge.
We would be so honored if you would be willing to come back at any point this season. But yeah, and what was I going to say? Oh, you were on Twitch the other day, right? Did anything exciting on Twitch, or you were just kind of hanging out?
Oh, I was just doing an interview for a friend.
Okay.
Nothing gaming related or anything elsewise. It was just more of a intellectual conversation about new media. So I don't know. Maybe don't go check that out unless that interests you.
Oh, final question before we get out of here. Do you know anything about Sequester? Do you know what it is?
I do. Yeah. I watched maybe half of the episodes of the new season of Sequester when that came out, because you know, I saw that Taryn was covering it for Rob as a podcast. So yeah. I was like, okay, let me get interested in this. And the only thing I have to say about Sequester, at least that season, is it is full of people who are not charismatic enough to be on Big Brother. So,
do you know what the Sequester minis are that they've been running every week?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
The Sequester minis are like small versions of the game that you watched on YouTube then. And they're played from at home, behind, you know, you're on the computer and you play pretty much over the course of one night. Taryn's actually playing in one this Sunday, so you should definitely check that out.
I definitely want to check that out. Yeah, please send me the information on that. And sorry if you're on Sequester. And I don't know. There was one girl in this past season who I was like, oh, she could have been on Big Brother and casted. Everyone else, I was like, this is why they don't, like, I don't know. This is such a controversial take to end an episode on, but but like, do you agree with me, or I don't know?
Basically, like, Sequester is a lot of gamers, and I don't know particularly why a lot of those people don't get cast on like the big shows. But at the end of the day, like, they are usually all willing to play hard.
because they say like, we want to go, we want to play hard, but like they all, I mean, not all of them, but a lot of that watching Sequester was like watching people who say that be forced to be in like real social situations, and they crack under pressure, and like they don't have good speeches, and they don't come off the way that they probably think that they do in their head. And you know, you can definitely hate like guys like Jackson and stuff from this past Big Brother season, but sometimes people who are even recruits like that, who maybe come like as like this like popular jock guy, he's gotten to be that his whole life, and he's pretty good at like, you know, convincing people of things his way and kind of putting on these fronts that I think in a full gamer season type show, which Sequester was, you see a lot more like fumbling and like, I don't know, when people meet aggression, they freak out and they don't handle it well and calmly. So this is all very hot take that I'm scorching right now. But that was my takeaway from Sequester. It felt sloppy.
No, yeah, I think that what it is I think there are some people that, yeah, I don't see them maybe getting cast, but I think there's some people that probably could do pretty well. And especially like Sequester is filmed over the course of like a couple of days, where I think if you like throw them, they're probably like, you know, maybe like having that issue in the interview process. But if you throw them in the Big Brother house and like give them those 4 days that aren't even on feeds to like warm up, maybe they do a little better. But yeah, it's tough. That's
true. The pace of the show, it does make a huge difference. So I will peel back my criticism. That must be very difficult for them to navigate.
How do you think Taryn's going to do in this mini?
Well, are people going to know it's him?
The one that they're doing this weekend is actually, so they've done so far, they did an RHAP one with all the RHAP hosts. And I think you would have enjoyed that because you know a couple of the people that were playing in the game. And then they did a Big Brother US versus Big Brother Canada one, which was a little bit more controversial, to say the least, the following week or a couple weeks later. And then this week is it's like an influencer kind of one of people that are Twitch streamers, YouTubers. Corey from... he was on The Amazing Race, Ricky Dillon, Ricky, is that his name? Ricky?
Yep.
Yeah. Ricky Dillon, a couple other people, but.
YouTuber Ricky Dillon?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, that's my guy. Okay. I definitely will be tuning in then.
Yes. Him and Taryn will be competing in this Sequester mini on Sunday. It's at 8 PM. So.
Well, I hope Taryn does really well. I feel like people are going to, I feel like he's just like at a disadvantage because he's Taryn, you know, but hopefully not.
We think that, but this is a pretty big like stacked list in terms of like follower count. I was talking about this a little bit earlier with him as well, that like he's kind of like right in the middle. So I'm hoping that, you know, I'm hoping that none of them are listening to this, the cast members, which they aren't. And I'm also hoping that, yeah, that threat factor is mitigated a little bit from not being the biggest person there. But yeah, so that's that quick note of Sequester at the end there. So yeah, Hoodie is on Twitter at Hoodie Allen and Instagram the same.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yep, so check Hoodie out in all those places. And Scally, what's going on with you?
Currently just on Twitter, nothing else coming out this week. So Twitter, Instagram at Brian_Scally.
All right. And I am, of course, on Twitter at Matt Liguori. Anything else that I have going on, you will see there. So just follow me there. And thank you one more time, Hoodie, for coming on. We really appreciate it. Yeah,
seriously. Of course, guys. This was fun. I love the challenge. Woo!
Yes. So we'll hope out. We'll keep out hope alive for a Maddie or a Tori win. Or would you say Fessy?
Fessy? No, Jordan. I don't want Fessy to win. I just think he's going to do good.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. Hopefully get Hoodie back in here at some other point this season. But that's all we got for today. So thank you guys for listening, and we will catch you next week.